Okay, still studying the book of Philippians, and we're still in chapter 3, if you want to open your Bibles there. Philippians chapter 3, we're discussing the objective of the Holy Spirit as he indwells the believer, and that objective is to bring us onward to the place where we are like Jesus Christ, like Jesus Christ. So let's read again, the context of our passage for tonight, starting in verse number 8, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, yea, doubtless, no doubt in Paul's mind, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, so last time, as we saw last time, the man who is writing this passage is clearly saved. He's born again. His sins are all forgiven because he has trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jesus died to pay for all his sins. Jesus rose from the dead that he might be in a position to give eternal life to them that trust him. And Paul trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. All his sins are forgiven. Heaven is his eternal destination. That is settled. That is settled. But Paul said, there's something I'm still trying to attain. There's something I'm still reaching for. That word apprehend, that's a big Bible word. In fact, in Acts chapter 12, some soldiers came to arrest Peter for preaching. And the Bible says that they apprehended him. They apprehended him. They put him in prison for preaching. All right, so what does that mean? That means that they laid hold on him. They grasped him. They seized him. They took control of him. Okay, so similarly, Paul says here in this passage, the Holy Spirit directing him, he says, there's something I can't quite get my hand on. There's something out there that I am after. I can't quite grasp it, but I want to. But the Bible says, as far as Jesus is concerned, he has apprehended Paul. He's already laid hold on the Apostle Paul. But Paul, looking back at Jesus, says, I don't really think I've got the same grip on him that he's got on me. He knows me perfectly, but I can't say that I know him perfectly. Except what I'm really after, verse 8, is the knowledge of Christ. What I'm really after, verse 9, is the faith of Christ. What I'm really after, verse 10, is the fellowship of Christ. And I believe those of you joining us tonight, you've been blessed by God with a great deal of Bible knowledge. That's why you enjoy listening to Bible preaching and Bible teaching and instead of the mindless nonsense you could be listening to right now. I believe the Lord has blessed us with a great measure of zeal to impart that knowledge to others, whether they're saved, whether they're lost. And that's great. That's great. But Paul said, that's not the mark. Not just knowledge, not just zeal. That's not the mark toward which I'm pressing. He didn't say, I want to know about Christ. He's saying, I want to know Christ. He didn't say he wanted to put his puny little faith in Jesus. He wanted Jesus' great faith to be working in him. He didn't say, I want to get to the place where I'm in love with God while everything is going great, and then I'm whimpering and whimpering to God, complaining to God when things are going wrong. He said, I want to get to the place where I am maintaining joyful fellowship with Christ, even when I'm suffering. Why did he say that? Because the ultimate proof that I am not walking in the flesh, but in the spirit, is that I am Christ-like at all times. At all times. I mean, come on, anybody can be seemingly spiritual as long as their flesh is comfortable. But when my flesh is distressed, when my flesh is oppressed, it's pretty hard for me to be spiritual. How about you? I see in these verses of scripture a man who so desires to be like Christ that if he has to partake of the sufferings of Christ and the persecution of Christ and the rejection of Christ and the contradiction of Christ, he'll take all of that, if it will draw him closer to Jesus. And that's what he wants. That's what he longs for. Now, if you've got to be well to serve God, if you've got to be happy to serve God, if everything's got to be going your way to serve God, you are a carnal, fleshy baby, probably packing in a mega church somewhere. But if you can take the whip on the back, if you can take the trip to the jailhouse, if you can take the shipwreck in the slave ship, if you can suffer the loss of all things and say, no big deal, because I'm so much closer to what God wants me to be than I was before, well, now you're on the right track. Now you're beginning to go beyond the realm of fleshy service of God and into the realm of operating in and through God's power, God's love, God's might, while you are living in a body of flesh. And that's what the true Christian is reaching for, though he or she may not yet be able to hold on to it. Well, the key word is found in verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained. So we covered this last time. It cannot possibly be talking about salvation because he's already saved. This can't be a home in heaven or eternal life. He already has that. He said, there's something that I have not attained, something that is keeping me short of perfection. And again, that word perfect in your Bible never means sinless. Perfect in the Bible means complete, entire, wanting nothing. Now, people say, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not because, you know, I'm not perfect. Other people laugh. They say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. That just so shows such a lack of scriptural understanding. You won't go to heaven because you're perfect. You understand? You are perfected once you are going to heaven. See, if you're going to heaven, it's because Jesus Christ is your Savior and your sins are forgiven. Now, having been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, having been given eternal life, God then begins the process, not of making you saved, you're already saved, but of perfecting you so that you can be like Christ. Perfect in the Bible always carries the meaning of a finished product. I'm not a finished product. You are not a finished product. But we need to be pressing toward that finish line and allowing God to work his work in our life every single day. Well, let me say this. Perfection cannot mean sinless, because Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, was not perfect. How about that? Jesus Christ, he was sinless, yes. But when he came to this earth in a body of flesh, human flesh, he had to be perfected. That is, the Bible says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. There were some things that were finished in him when he came down here. And we're not going to get too deep in that tonight. I'll talk about that a little bit later here, but let's run some Bible verses first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 carries this meaning of perfect, helps us to get a picture of it here. For verse number 9, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Bible says there, and he said unto me, this is Paul, God said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay, now look at that. Here is God's strength. Paul has a measure of God's strength. We know that. It's obvious. You look at his life. He's been on 3 missionary journeys. He's written epistles. He's founded churches. He's discipled and trained believers. God has strengthened that man. But he said there's a perfecting of that strength. A perfecting of that strength that will come only, or that will only come about through your physical weakness and through the further breaking of your self-confidence. So God uses the word in this verse. He says, you have my strength, but I'm going to perfect that strength, complete it, finish it, work it out in your life in a greater measure. Okay, let's look next at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll start there in verse number 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? All right, so we learned there they have had their eyes on the crucified Christ. Okay, verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, so it's obviously by faith. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Okay, so look what he's saying there. You put your eyes on Christ, you trusted him and not the law. You got the Holy Spirit when you were saved, but then you forgot that salvation. You forgot that that salvation did not perfect you. The salvation gets you to heaven, praise God. It gets you out of hell, praise God. But that's not all God wanted to do in your life. He didn't just want to save us. He wanted to perfect us. He didn't just want to forgive our sins. He wanted to empower us to live above those sins. Okay, now let's take a look at the context. Verse 4, Galatians 3, 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? All right, so look what he's saying. You guys were doing good until you started suffering. And when you started suffering, then you forgot about God. And so now all that suffering was wasted? Why? God wanted perfection. He can only bring about perfection through suffering. But when you suffered, you forgot about God. So the suffering was in vain. It was wasted. You know, in every one of these passages dealing with perfection, the idea is the same. I'm saved, but I've still got a lot of self-confidence. I'm saved, but I still have a real love for the things of the world. I'm saved, but I'm still double-minded. Okay, so God is going to put me through the ringer, so to speak, so that salvation will be perfected. And I won't just be a Christian going to heaven. I'll be a Christ-like man or woman on the way. Now, brothers and sisters, never mind what these humanists who call themselves preachers are telling you. You are going to suffer. We're all going to suffer. But if in that suffering we forget that God is at work, then all we're doing is suffering. It's in vain. Okay? But if in that suffering we fellowship with Jesus Christ and allow him to work in our heart and to work in our mind and work in our life, then that suffering brings us another 100 meters down the track, closer to the finish line. So that's what we're talking about here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, watch what the minister is doing among the congregation here. 1 Thessalonians 3, 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Okay, now that is not criticism. Okay, how do we know that? Well, he said in the same book here, chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that sounds like pretty good people there, pretty faithful believers there. And verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. These are followers of the Lord here. Verse 7, so that ye were in samples. These believers here were in samples. That's the plural word for examples. To all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. So, hey, look at that. These are great Christians here. But Paul said, I'm going to come. We're going to have some special meetings. We're going to get together because there's some things about your faith that are not perfect. Okay? They need to be perfected. So he's not saying, no way is he saying that these believers here are no good. He's not saying that they're not living for the Lord. I mean, he said there in chapter 1 that they were the best example he had of what Jesus Christ can do in a life. But they were not complete. They weren't everything God could make them. And that's the desire of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's get back to what I said earlier, because I'm sure it had to have bothered somebody here. I don't know who, but somebody. In fact, it may have bothered some people so much that they're not even listening to me anymore. But in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 9, Hebrews 2, 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Okay, now, we all know Jesus has always been, okay? But, I mean, he's eternal, okay? But until he was born in that manger in Bethlehem, we didn't see Jesus. But on that day, he was manifest in the flesh. He was made a little lower than the angels. And it says, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Okay, now look here. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Okay, so not the elect, but every man. Verse 10, For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Did you see that? Jesus came and was made perfect. Well, how was he made perfect? The same way everyone else is made perfect, through sufferings. All right? Surprise, surprise. Well, God himself came to this earth in a body of human flesh. He called his name Jesus. And the man Christ Jesus, God in the body of human flesh, became our captain, our leader, our guide, our example, the one in whose steps we walk. And he was not perfect when he got here. He was made perfect, complete, through the suffering that he went through. Now, I'm not saying that he was made sinless, because he never sinned. He was not a sinner. He was not made pure and righteous. He was always pure and righteous. But he was made perfect. Okay, that is, our God was completed when he came to the earth. Until Jesus Christ came to this earth, think about this. God didn't know what it was like to be thirsty. He does now. God did not know what it was like to be hungry. He does now. God did not know what it was like to have a best friend betray you. He does now. God did not know what it was like to find out that somebody you loved and cared about lied about you. He does now. God didn't know what it was like to feel and experience physical pain. He certainly does now. You know what the Bible says in Philippians 3? Jesus Christ got a hold on this thing. Jesus Christ apprehended suffering as a man while trusting fully in the power of God the Father. He laid hold on that. And Paul said, if I'm going to get that knowledge, if I'm going to get that faith, if I'm going to enter into that fellowship, it will have to be the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what happens when suffering comes our way? We quit fellowshipping with God and we get occupied with our suffering. Somebody does you wrong in the church and you quit the church. Something goes wrong in your family, you quit your family. Something goes wrong physically or financially, you get mad at God, you quit on God. How about that? Paul said, I have suffered like no man's ever suffered for Christ, but I'm still on the track. I'm still looking at the finish line. I'm still in the race because I want to get hold of that thing. And then Hebrews chapter 5, look there, come to Hebrews 5. Verse number 7, Hebrews 5, 7. And it's speaking of Jesus Christ here. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. You see, that's the high priest touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God came down here and felt loss, felt sorrow, felt rejection, felt pain, felt hunger. He'd never done that before. The verse says, with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Okay, well, have you ever had things that scared you? Look what the Bible says, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. And being made perfect. Okay, so what does that tell you? He wasn't. But now he is. He was sinless, but he wasn't perfect. How did Jesus Christ attain perfection as a man? Through suffering while staying obedient to his Father. That's the way to do it. That's the example. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Okay, you need to remember that. Not only could it not save you, Hebrews 10, it couldn't finish you once you were saved. The law made nothing perfect. Hebrews 11, verse 4, you go through there, you see verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, without the sufferings of Jesus Christ, okay, the Old Testament saints didn't have that, so they could not be perfected. God could forgive them, but he couldn't finish them. He couldn't complete them. Only through the sufferings of Jesus Christ can a person be perfected. And then Hebrews 12, verse 22, speaks of the saints of God in heaven. Okay, it says in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. All right, that's where I'm going. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men. Okay, that's salvation. Made perfect. That's completion. Now look what he said in Philippians 3. Let's get back to Philippians 3. He's saying, I'm trying to attain the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's not hoping to get to heaven someday. He's saved. He's not hoping to get resurrected someday. He is saved. He's a just man. But when he gets to heaven, he'll be a just man made perfect. So what does he want right now? He wants to be a just man made perfect. Amen. You hear all this debate about James chapter 2. Abraham had faith, and that saved him. But by works, his faith was made perfect. Okay. James 1 verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In Ephesians 4, spiritual gifts are given to the church for the perfecting of the saints. So brother, sister, Christian friend, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved. You are going to heaven. And when you get there, God will make you everything he can possibly make you. He will conform you completely to the image of his Son. What a glorious thought that is. But do you not see, do you not understand that the Holy Spirit in you began, the moment you were saved, began to work that process in you this side of heaven? And the Christian who's going to walk with God, talk with God, commune with God, fellowship with God, is the Christian who is allowing the difficulties, the hardships, the sufferings of this life to make them like Christ now, rather than waiting for a complete and drastic overhaul on the other side of death's door. God wants you to be like Jesus Christ now, not later. Isn't that what you want? I hope it is. Sure hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for showing us how to deal with the difficulties and the sufferings that we might go through in our life. Help us, Lord, not to let those times go to waste, but to remember that you're trying to work on us. You're trying to help us, Lord, so that we can be perfected. Help that to be the desire of all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.